that picture is who I want to hire you to kill. I never asked for a fucking haircut.
Oh, is that the lady in the fucking purity society? Yes, okay, yes. Okay. Yeah, that was
it. It was either between that or holy fuck, Shao Fei can fly.
I had a couple that I really liked. Yeah, I did write some of them.
The writing in the show is like hilarious.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's smart. Yeah,
because good humor. It's still witty, but then it's not afraid to be brash, mm-hmm. or even not grotesque is the correct word.
Yeah,
but how do I explain it?
It's like a level above. Like it's definitely not for kids.
Yeah, definitely. But it can be, but I think that's kind of maybe that's like a Chinese culture sort of media representation. Yeah. I don't know if that's how they run their comedy, but no, I liked it because like they weren't afraid to be. What's the word? Edgy, I guess, quote unquote. There has to be a better term for it, but
maybe I'm sure there's a Chinese term that describes exactly what you're saying that we will, of course,
not know
at all
because we are not Chinese.
I don't know.
Welcome, folks, to another rendition of the Spotter Pod, Spot 107. Ironically, is that correct? 107?
I think so.
What are the odds? I didn't even know that.
Oh, because yeah, I was like, what are you talking about?
Today we will be covering Scissor 7 as the multimedia discussion spod typically does. But before we continue on, it is yours truly, Jeffrey Excellence, joined together with...
It is Ophi.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. 107 episodes and I still... I'll
get this intro right at some
point. I just say my name. I don't really got a gimmick. No gimmicks needed. Ophi the Samurai.
No gimmicks.
I saw a thing like that. It's like, no gimmicks needed. Ted the Samurai. I'm like, fuck. Cool.
It's like a Blank the Hedgehog.
Yeah, there you go.
No gimmick. That's actually kind of funny.
I think it was a wrestler.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
No gimmicks, Ophiana.
Yeah.
No gimmicks, Ophi. That's not so bad.
No.
That's definitely a creative character on...
I'm fucking... who's the guy who actually said that? I think it was... I want to say Shane Douglas.
Oh,
was it Shane Douglas? That?
I can believe. I mean,
was it? It was some guy in ECW. I'm not sure if it was.
They said it in a promo or something.
Like that was like part of their. Was it Chris Candido? I think it was Chris Candido.
Oh yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, if it's after his Body Donner stint.
Oh.
Did you know about the Body Donners?
No.
Pretty good, man. They're like exercise freaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that him and his girlfriend?
Wife. I'm not quite sure in the real. It's a whole mess, but
all right.
Too sidetracked. Yeah, lingering thoughts on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
Not lingering thoughts about that, but I do kind of want to get in. I don't know. I was just really excited. So I think last episode, I was like, ooh, do I want to play Spider-Man Miles Morales, the video game?
It's
kind
of
like a half sequel. I fucking finished it.
Oh, dude. You're ahead of me.
Yo, what the fuck? This game's good.
Oh shit! Well, hey, that gets you excited for Spider-Man 2.
Dude, no, man, I was so excited for Spider-Man 2. I bought a PS5.
Where?
It's in the living room. It's under there.
Oh, dude!
I was just too hyped. I watched the fucking story thing. I'm like, oh my god, it's good. Oh.
You're fucking wild, dude! I didn't even see that coming in.
I'm a dumb idiot.
Make sure you add me.
I'm a dumb idiot. I've been added you from PS4. I think it carries over.
Oh yeah, of course. No, dude. The funny thing is, you know, my wife bought my PS5, right? But I decided to upgrade because everything has to do fucking tiers now.
Yeah.
But I went up one tier for my PlayStation.
Are you saying? No, dude, that is. I saw the games that are available.
Yeah, the list.
I'm like, yo, this is worth it.
We should play Yakuza. We should do Yakuza now you have it. Well, I guess you could have always done it on PC, but.
But hey, to get all those games for. It's like $15?
Yeah, I think it rounds out to be like maybe $100 a year, which. If you divide it by 12, that's like.
If you buy those games at full price, which I know they're kind of older, so.
But even, like, I'm sure even if they were like 10.
Yeah, but it's like just the convenience of like. It's like the Netflix thing. Here. You know,
it's such a huge game library, too. And that's not even like the highest tier, but, you know, like.
Yeah.
A bunch of games I put on my back burner that I want to play.
Like, I was like, yo, there's a lot of stuff here.
I wish we were, but we're not sponsored by Sony. I know we're jerking them off, but let me expound on that really quick. What was that one samurai game by Sucker Punch that came out?
Sucker Punch samurai game.
Fuck.
I don't know. When you say samurai game, I just think of I guess there's a decent amount. I don't know.
Hold up. I got it. Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah.
So, like, that was on my back
burner. Oh, yeah, that's there too, yeah.
So, like, it was part of the thing. Like, there were so many games that were on my back burner, like that game that I wanted to play. Plus, I wanted to play all the Yakuzas, or at least all the remakes. Mm-hmm. So, that's, like, 0, 1, 2, 1, 2, 6 already, 6 already played, and 7 was on there. But I got all those games for that. And one more game I wanted to point out that was on there was the Miles Morales.
Yeah.
So, I was like, oh, okay, true. I can finally get to... If anything, maybe, like, after... I don't know why. Well, I know why, because I like it, but I was playing Uncharted 4 again. But also, I was going to play The Lost Legacy
4 and a half. Yeah, I saw that all the Uncharted games were there, and I'm like, oh, maybe let's see what they're about.
The first one's cool, but I would just skip it. I would go straight to 2 if you do play it. Yeah.
All right.
They have the Nathan Drake collection. You could skip one.
All right.
You could skip one. But, No, I loved that Spider-Man game when it came out that year. That was my favorite game that year, right? But I was just really pissed when the Miles Morales DLC came out because I realized you had to buy it
as a separate whole game. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's discounted, but no, you had to buy it at full
fucking. Yeah, that felt kind of bad.
No, yeah, that actually pissed. I was like, wow, a series that I really like. Well, I guess it's a series now, but from a company that I enjoy and a game series that I like, it's gonna be fucking. You're gonna short me?
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm not the guy that believes that every hour of gameplay should be a dollar. I think that's kind of dumb, yeah, right? But on the other hand, like, this is basically Spider-Man 1.5, so you can charge full price. Definitely. Are you fucking kidding me?
So I will say, I guess a preview, it does at least to me feel like...
I gotta play Miles Morales so we can talk about it. Maybe we'll do that next.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, like, and not even just gameplay-wise, well, at least in gameplay-wise, I do think it's, like, everything the first one does, but, like...
They actually improve.
Yeah, no, better.
It's not stale.
And it's different, too, which I do like, because it's not just...
Also works story-wise, because, Miles Morales Miles is like, different. Another Spider-Man.
They're not equal, is what he said in one of the... I also went back. I remember I never got through the DLCs for the first Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
I got through those
That's
as
all
well.
On the PlayStation Pass, too.
Yeah, and I did those, too. Just a nice continuation of... expounding all the separate characters. Sorry. Man, I thought Black Cat was real. I believed her, man. I was like, yo, Pete's a fucking dad. That's going to be wild. I'm an idiot. Just like he is, man.
Yeah, that's all good.
That's funny.
But, Black Cat is a giant woman in that game universe.
She's a giant woman?
Dude, she's taller than Peter.
Okay, well...
I know she's like a super hero
she's
woman.
She's so short. I mean, how tall is like...
Peter's like 5'10", 5'11" in the game. I think she's like an inch or two taller. So she's at least... How many 6-foot women do you know right now, personally? Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I wonder if I put my sister and my mom... No, that's like...
Yeah, you put your sister and mom together, like, maybe they'll be like 5 feet. Sorry,
That's fine. It's all good. Enough about Spider-Man.
Holy shit,
completely different possible new episodes. Let's dig into Scissor 7. It is a anime from China that is available on Netflix.
Also known as Killer 7, but Killer I'm 7. Assuming due to censorship in America.
I swear Killer 7's like a name of a different thing.
It's a
too.
Game.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a Grasshopper by Suda 51.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I remember hearing about it. Yeah.
Copyright strike. Here we go. Even though they're 4 seasons in. Dude, we had to play No More Heroes, right?
That's one of those games I've always wanted to, but never.
Like, it's on Switch. Okay. The bullshittest thing is I think they charge near full price.
Well, is it just the first game or is it like a collection of 1 and 2?
No, it's just the first. It's separate. I'm like, you bitches can't fucking sell together? These games are like, it's literally over a decade old. Like, what the fuck?
Hey, maybe they remastered it by running the textures.
They remastered the first one on PS3 or 4.
That's ancient now. Yeah. Oh, God. No, I saw things like, oh, PS5's halfway through its lifespan. Like, what the fuck? I thought it just came out.
Well, it's because we're late adopters.
Yeah, that's
another
true.
Thing to think about, we came out in 2008. That's 15 years ago.
Now, I feel like...
That's a decade and a half.
I don't know why. I always remember the Wii being 2007, but I guess I don't know.
Point being made. Over a decade and a half.
It's kind of hard to...
Let that sink in.
Hard to really think about the way time marches on, but...
Little kids can run up to you and call you a boomer, and it's like a little... It's a little sting to it.
It's a, yeah. Anyway,
it's like you punch them little kids in the face.
Jesus Christ! Anyway,
put
getting
them in
back,
their fucking place, am
getting
I right?
back into Scissor 7. Quick overview.
Fuck them kids.
Dude with amnesia wants to be a killer, but
is a better barber marginally.
Yeah. I mean, is there an actual scene of him cutting somebody's hair and them being happy with it? I don't know. Not sure about that one.
Like I said, marginally. Yeah. Because at least he finishes the job.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I don't think he finishes a single guy. He doesn't get paid a single damn time in this game.
Untrue. He gets paid by the cat.
Oh, no. I bet at the end of the episode, he did finish the job at the end.
Yeah.
So you think the guy...
Oh, like paid him? Captain Jack, yeah.
There you go.
He got paid, but then he used that money to buy his pants back.
Wait, what?
If we're talking about... We'll get to it.
Oh, no. Okay, whatever, yeah. So, yeah, getting into...
Give a little background. So, obviously we've done a bunch of anime and these 100 episodes, but the reason why this was so interesting is because it's actually a Chinese animation, mm-hmm. You know, so that's how I pitched it to Ophi, and I thought it was a charming series. I liked it, and that's why we're here today.
You know, I think I literally just looked at the art style. I'm like, okay, this is like... pretty different than what
yeah, it's definitely more cartoonish, right?
It did remind me of Pain and Stalking. I did get a lot of those vibes.
And
definitely not as crazy and off the wall as that, but it's still,
I don't think it goes that far with the artwork, but they still, like, I think there's a strength in their, an extreme strength rather, in their visual humor. And although the animation isn't necessarily like, let's say it's not Gainax.
Yeah, it's not super high quality.
But I still think for the artwork, the simplistic cartoonish stylized artwork is still like, it's still effective at conveying its message, and it's still intriguing to look at.
Even something like the fucking ending sequence, I fucking love the
dog butt.
Yeah, who the fuck was he? Yeah. I don't know. Because everyone else was an episode. Like, yeah, okay, yeah. It's like we're slowly.
I have no idea. I don't know if that's supposed to matter. I feel like that's just a joke. That the artist is at the studio made is like, oh, what if we just drew an ass dog?
Yeah,
dog ass.
And no, maybe in season
four,
we'll be the real leader of the entire nation.
You know, I can believe it. There's a kind of a character with some sort of similar.
Okay,
but no, I was actually looking more into it, and like, you know, apparently there's supposed to be a season 5 and 6 plan and a movie.
It says right here, film sequel to the fourth season was announced.
The fourth season. Okay. Well, season 4 hasn't been.
Yeah, we don't got it yet.
Yeah, it's not in America.
For filthy, whatever the
filthy Chinese Gaijin. Equivalent. Wait, that's not right.
Yeah, whatever the Chinese equivalent Japanese for Gaijin is.
Kuailo.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Wilson told me that.
TBA.
I know. Yeah. Fuck, dude. I wanted to come out on Netflix already.
Alrighty.
Let's get to these themes and tones, Ophi.
Yeah. So the main thing that I got is kind of the irony of. He's supposed to be a killer, but a lot of times,
irony, right?
Yeah, a lot of times he's like protecting his targets' lives from whatever bullshit they're dealing with.
He half-asses tries to kill his targets and then ends up helping them in some way.
Yeah, I know.
Which is extremely ironic for a quote-unquote would-be assassin, right?
And I think it kind of ties into his backstory about, you know, like he's trying to. Oh wait, where am I going with this?
His backstory. Well,
I know that. I'm trying to, like, okay, how do I tie this again? Or, yeah, he's like the first scene when he's trying to get the target, and then they have the fucking corny-ass slideshow.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, where the fuck was your corny-ass slideshow at your wedding, man? Come
on. That was at the proposal you saw.
Oh, okay, yeah. He had a slide? I forgot that. That was how many? Dang. Okay, whatever. But it's like, where's my memories?
Where's my corny-ass slideshow?
It's like, even though... I mean, it's shown, obviously, he's got the innate... His killing ability, as shown, is, like, still there, deep inside, but...
Doesn't really come out, but he's still, there's hints of it.
He's still got the heart of gold. And I think, actually, in the final episode, where it's shown when he's in his whatever... Is there a name for his former persona or whatever to differentiate it?
Oh, no, I think it's still 7.
Oh, yeah, whatever. In his previous life, where it's shown that he's protecting the girl, which I think is 13, I'm assuming? Or maybe it's not. You know the scene where...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I just assumed it was her because, I mean, she seems plot important to his past. But, I mean, regardless, like, he was protecting this girl even despite apparently all the other killers wanting to kill him. And then she stabs him through the heart.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, he's got principles. Or even the opening scene where it's showing him killing, like, some dude and then he gets paid by some gross motherfucker. He's like, and he kills him too because, like, ooh, you know, I can't allow evil. He's got the righteous heart.
I thought he said a bigger buyer paid me out.
I think it depends. I noticed when I had subtitles on, because I did have some of them.
I think that's like a Netflix flaw, because like sometimes the subtitles on Netflix are meant for the original language. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, when you use it English with subtitles, it's just English with
I put on the subtitles because there were some, you know, on-screen really text that I wanted to see, but yeah, it was kind of distracting. But okay, similar thing where he huh, I guess that does change the context of what I'm saying.
But I mean, like, that was just an imagined sequence. That wasn't the actual reality.
Yeah. Or it's, you know, he's trying to... I guess it kind of ties into... Oh, well, I guess faking it. Because he's like, you know, oh, I need to be this hyper-competent assassin to make money. But at the end of the day, he's kind of a softie at the end of the day.
Yeah, he's a big softie. He's a half-boiled...
Oh, there you go, back a... We didn't do double, right? We only did Forza.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, the Kamen Rider's so long, though. I mean...
Damn Hidari.
Oh, that'd be great. I know there's a manga now. Think about it.
Yeah, dude, there's an anime. Of all the Kamen Riders, they chose double, which is kind of cool.
I'm glad about that. It's probably still my favorite, though. I don't know.
Double's a pretty good Kamen Rider.
There's a lot of cool ones out there.
Dude, anyway. I think Drive is, like, underappreciated.
No, Drive is, like... It's pretty tight.
Like, I get people get up, think the costume is a dumb gimmick, which is kind of fair, but
yeah,
the overall story was still good.
No, I honestly really do like, oh god, all these names are so kind
of whatever, similar. Drive Pro Tag.
Oh, he's cool, I liked him, though.
Yeah, the Drive Pro Tag.
I liked his back and forth with, Beltson and Kiriko, and he was and
a detective.
He was a detective, you know? He was in neutral, stuck in neutral for more. No, I don't know. It might be my favorite opening, Surprise Drive.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
It's pretty good.
I do love it.
I mean, O's is pretty good too.
God damn it. Okay, anyway, getting back into. Yeah, I think I covered most of what. Oh, and even in the last scene when the fucking future man is attacking and he's like, "Ooh, everyone on this island has something that they want to protect."
Yeah, which I think we've seen through this definitely episodes. Ties it up here. Yeah,
yeah. And what do I want
to
do?
I mean, I think another example to exemplify this theme is Cola, right?
Dude,
that sounds pretty good, right? Pretty good, right? But
I lost my shit when she revealed.
You know. Obviously, this is a spoiler podcast if you haven't figured it out by now, but Cola is a girl who had cancer, and, you know, she said only...
Until
then, but she reveals that she's the one that put out a hit contract on herself because, quote-unquote, only important people get assassinated. Oh my God, like JFK, right?
That was crazy.
Or Abraham Lincoln.
Because most of that episode basically plays out like the pie bomb episode from SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah,
she's
got,
you know, the bucket list and putting him through a bunch of bullshit.
But if you think about it objectively, like, why would... If you were really a stone-cold assassin, wouldn't you just kill her straight out without... Like,
hey, you're sure to... Well, it's kind of unclear when he gets supposed to get paid. I don't know. I feel like
he gets paid. From what I've seen in the episodes, he gets paid before.
Okay,
which, you know, is ironic. He doesn't really.
I would think because I would think you would wait until
at least half, right?
Like put a down payment.
Yeah, down payment on your murder.
You're gonna split in four. Your
each loom is a dollar.
There you go.
Really cheap. But, I was going with this. Oh, yeah. She, instead of Seven, like, completing the assassination and her wishes of, being murdered brutally with a pair of scissors, he actually keeps her money and puts it forward towards a doctor that could treat Cola.
Who I think in that scene, you see the dog butt.
Yeah, they show
like,
the dog butt
character. I was like, wait, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, the dog butt character, I feel like, is just a joke. I really think it's just a joke.
I'm just so curious, I need to know. But...
You should tweet at them.
Oh, yeah.
And then just be like, on X. Chinese. On X. Because that's what it's called now, it's not called Twitter anymore.
I'm aware.
Elon Musk is taking over. But, no, memories, right? I think, like you said, in the first episode... He asks where his corny slideshow is, and then basically at the climax of the season, not the end of the season, but at the climax of the season, he says, everyone on this island has something to protect, except him, quote unquote, until he realizes all the memories that he's had with the people, so he wants to protect them, right? It's not like relevant to the core plot, but I think just a theme that I noticed is fake it till you make it. And like you said, Ophi, Seven clearly fakes that he's a good assassin. Yep. Hell, he probably fakes that. Or maybe he really believes he's a good barber. I don't know. you'll see what I mean in the later seasons. Okay. But no, I think the embodiment of that was Daibo. Because as he's fighting King Pheasant, you know, with the cool guy shades, he's even saying like how terrified he is, but he has a stone cold face. Mm. And he's, I think my favorite thing about that fight, and I know we're jumping ahead here, is like, despite how much he got his ass beat, he was still willing to put his middle finger up the entire time.
Yeah, man. You gotta, gotta have the attitude.
Gotta have that dog. And
he got that dog, you know?
Even though they're chickens, but.
Damn, I love that phrase. So stupid.
You know, there's a wrestler in Reno that basically, that's his whole gimmick.
Jesus.
He's the West Coast dog, Kid Adams. Hey, okay. Kid, you fucking idiot. All
right, okay. So does he bark or?
No, he all just right. has
okay.
West Coast dog on his tights.
All right,
like they're nice tights.
D-A-W-G.
Yeah, no, I think it's D-A-G-G. I was like, dude, that says fucking dag.
What? Oh, come on. What? Hello?
That says dag.
D-A-G-G. Oh wait, isn't that a?
No, D-O-double-G is Snoop Dogg.
Okay, well,
D-A-double-G.
You're right, you're fucking right. I'm like, wait, isn't that what Snoop says? No, no, it's not.
It's actual dog.
Well, you gotta stand out somehow, man. You know.
I like your note that you have here as far as, like, the animation reminds you of The Simpsons with the humor, the over-the-top humor and gags, but then still has heartfelt moments. Yeah,
definitely.
Moments.
Definitely like Golden Era Simpsons.
I appreciate that directing that they have in this show.
Yeah, because it's plenty of humor, but then you got, like, you know, the heartfelt message.
The fight scenes are actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. Like, it's not crazy over the top, but, like, honestly, within
whatever budget they had.
Like I just remember the fucking DBZ combo with the Kamehameha.
Yeah.
The lady busted out.
You know, you smack them up, then you double axe handle them down. Yeah.
Good stuff. So getting into some of the characters aren't.
I do want to say about the animation. It is great, but I think sometimes it does appear a little slower.
Yeah, I can feel. I can rhyme, not as fluid,
but it's still good. I'd still enjoy it.
Definitely. So getting into these characters and arcs, I basically just listed all the guys.
Yeah, let's run through them. Speed round.
All so right. I got the first one is the cat and the dog.
Well, look, Mad Dog was putting on airs that he was some bad.
Yeah, they, motherfucker. When they showed the photo and he's just like some little guy.
He's just a little Blue's Clues.
Or even when he's like, your eyes are really below your shape.
I know we're going ahead, but what I really appreciated, and like you said, with Golden Era Simpsons, and even as Super Eye Patch Wolf has mentioned, but I think the creators of Scissor Seven, let's just look at it really quick.
I don't know if you want to credit.
Directed by, no, scroll down. Zushing. Fuck, this isn't.
Which name
production company? Share Fun Studio. Oh, AHA Entertainment. I've seen AHA Entertainment. Okay, let's just. I don't know if this is necessarily 100% correct, but just for the sake of simplicity, something I think AHA Entertainment does a really good job on is that they layer their jokes, right?
Okay.
Like Eye Patch Wolf made the example of, you know, Bart's bike was going to get run over by a street sweeper. Have you seen this?
Okay, keep describing it, because I think...
Bart looks at the bike getting ran over, it gets crushed, but then it comes out of the street sweeper completely clean, right? But then,
I think I've seen this joke.
Bart's like, oh, huzzah, whatever. Then it falls apart, even though it was squeaky.
Yeah,
right? But then, to another part of the joke is that the street sweeper goes into, like, the subway or something, and then some evil guy comes out doing some sort of maniacal laughter. And the point I'm trying to make is the jokes are layered, and I think something AHA Entertainment does really well is that they layer their jokes. So, like you said, remember the scene when Mad Bark's eyes are beneath his sunglasses? Mm. I thought it was funny with how many ways he tried to stab out Mad Bark's eyes, right? Because first left hand, right hand, yoga pose, you know.
You gotta keep going. You gotta keep the resiliency of something, never give up, never back down.
Your time is up. My time is now. Can't see me. My time is now.
No, but I actually really liked their arc, though. It was pretty funny.
Did you know your phone could do that?
What?
I didn't know it could do that.
Yeah, I've been known.
Holy fuck. I didn't know that. It's just one? Oh, just one does that? Okay, hold on. Fuck.
Okay. It's like the photo thing.
I didn't even fucking... Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Holy shit.
But, you know, getting through them. So we got the cat and the dog who, you know, apparently you think, oh, they're fighting. Lovers. Yeah, but then it turns out that...
that's another subversion of expectations, right?
Because they wanted to have kids and...
they're star-crossed lovers.
This Justin, cats and dogs can't... I fucking love that so
much. Meow was, like, low-key kind of stupid, like...
Yeah?
Come on. How'd you not know that?
Anyway, then we got the... It's, yeah, because in the second episode... The next episode after that is this fight with 13.
Yep.
And then we got the underpants man, and you know, he just wants to collect underwear. That's
the guy bought all of these. Yeah. And hey, you know, it's not hurting anyone, and it's literally just something that he keeps to himself. Then why not?
You know, yeah,
live how you want to live.
Appreciated that message. That was pretty cool. We got the granny who's kind of an asshole, the but like
granny, yeah.
But like that, oh man, the fucking reveal at the end killed me too. When it was like, oh,
her, oh, when they during the credits,
when it was like, oh, her son's the one because I
put out a hit, yeah, for the life insurance.
That made me really sad, and seeing the animatic of him growing up with her.
Yeah, and then like he basically forgets her for his family. What the
fuck?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, man. Like, holy shit.
No, it's like unexpectedly deep, right? That's why it's good.
Because like she's still an asshole, but does that mean she deserves to die?
She ripped off that dude for the oranges.
It's like,
you remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Like 200 a pound, which to be fair, that probably would be a lot.
That's insane. Yeah. No, but I mean, we don't know exactly what the currency that they use, right? It does. I don't think it's.
Hey, they said dollars. Hey, they say dollars in English. Oh, it must be.
Yeah, probably not. But speaking on that granny episode, another thing I love about the visual humor is, you know, the Yabba Egg lets Seven transform into anything. I thought it was really funny how they showed the box being folded, and then they showed in comparison Seven's limbs being folded.
It's like, you know, you get a glimpse behind like what it actually, because yeah, I
how
do,
it feels, yeah.
Yeah, because I do think the transformation gimmick does allow for a lot of fun visual gags. One of the highlights for me.
The thing about the granny, though, is, like you said, the value of life, right? Mm-hmm. Even Daibo hones in, like, human's greatest weakness is love, right? So as he's about to kill the granny, Scissor ends up saving her.
Yeah, because, like, even he sees, like... she generally does love her grandchild, right? And, you know, that's pretty...
but basically only the grandchild.
Yeah.
Did you see the gag when the Princess Stan... Why do they call it Stan?
But, I don't know.
I still don't know. But the Princess Stan came in to basically destroy the island.
Yeah.
Right? To harvest resources. While everyone was looking and distracted, the granny...
She took the fish. Yeah, I saw that. And then at the very end, she's like, oh, I got a really good deal on fish. Oh, you won't believe it.
Five-finger discount.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, no, I love the pacing of it. Because, like, they run their serious moments, but they're not afraid to, like... It doesn't undercut it, but they're willing to throw their jokes in to provide some levity. So it's not always one tone.
I wonder if the pacing is good because not every episode had to hit a specific time mark, probably because it's on Netflix.
That's true too.
Or actually, because it wasn't produced for Netflix, was it?
No, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's like for a shorter time block.
But yeah, definitely.
In Chinese TV.
So it feels like each story doesn't need to hit a specific runtime. It's just like it's as long as it needs to be.
It hits its completion.
But you know what? I appreciate why not? That, yeah, honestly. Because I do think the whole episode needs to be 22 or, you know, 45 minutes is like a product of the way network stuff happens, like TV or whatever.
Blocks, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure how it works, but I'm pretty sure that's why.
But hey, you know, it's like, did you have Mr. Blank
Mr.
in
Blank?
High school?
For English? English? No, I don't think so.
I didn't, but my best friend's sister did. And then I'm... a quote that I heard from basically third hand, but keep your writing like you should keep. It was the miniskirt analogy. Keep your writing like miniskirts.
Okay.
Yeah, no, follow me on this. Short enough to cover the topic. Oh, no, sorry. Long enough to cover the topic, short enough to keep it interesting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think I've heard that.
And I think this show, especially in its first season, right? Doing that so effectively, right? Because they don't have to adhere to any time constraints. So it could be as short as long, or as long as they need to.
Or, to quote one Will Shakespeare, brevity is the soul of wit.
Fisher, we've ran this. We've run this gag. Because now it sounds way too familiar. Did this gag.
All right, okay.
Then we were consistent.
They got. I didn't know her name was Cola. Yeah. Like, I feel like people barely say... Honestly, I was like halfway through the game, like, wait, what does... What's the chicken's name again? Like,
well, it's kind of hard when you don't have the subtitles.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming you watched it without the subtitles because they don't match.
I did turn them off because it was annoying.
Yeah, because it doesn't match the speech. Right? Yeah. It's meant to match the Chinese speech.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming at least. But
probably.
It's an easy way, especially because like, I don't know if it's the actors themselves or whatever recording audio or just how they recorded it, but sometimes it's you can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, that's kind of hard. Yeah.
Like they're speeding through it, but I don't know.
Oh yeah. So we talked about her and her story. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. We got the pirate guy, Captain Jack,
and Mr. Chen.
Mr. Chen, power level 45.
You know that's a gag on like power levels in anime.
I'm like, I fucking loved how they brought it back in the last episode, and he got jobbed out.
Like, come on, that's good writing. I like that's good fucking writing.
I want to think 45 is probably pretty low.
It has to be.
Probably.
But then again, you know, if I got shot with a gun, I would die pretty quick. But
hey, man, he put everything on the line, including his pants. So God bless him.
Hey, but it was kind of funny because on the following episode, like he was just so readily. He was so ready to abandon his pants. So really, how much did it matter to him?
Well, you know, I mean, every man's got to make sacrifice.
Some sacrifices are easier than others. Captain Jack. He's more, if anything, a character for Seven to play off of. And I guess it kind of shows that Seven's past of
definitely.
Him being Seven. Seven being an incompetent assassin. So I think that's what more was for. I thought it was funny how Captain Jack challenged him. Like, oh, if you can make me move one step.
Yeah, that was good.
So Seven... I think one of the things I love about the series is they don't do just the... For the most part, they don't do the stereotypical anime. Mm-hmm. Oh, I power up. Oh, I defeat the villain.
I'm going to punch her really hard.
Yeah. Team Four Star satirized that perfectly. When I think it was like Revenge of Cooler episode. And Goku's talking to Vegeta, and he's like, oh, I got a plan. Let's just hit him really, really hard. But as I get sidetracked. But no, Scissor 7, I think, does a good job for the most part of avoiding that trope. So, like, instead of 7 straight up powering up and overpowering Captain Jack, because Captain Jack needs to be... he needs to be moved a step, right, for the challenge to be accomplished. He being 7, distracts
Jack.
Yeah, with an egg, and then just shows him an ugly ass face up close.
Oh yeah, I love how they're always shitting on how ugly he looks. You know? And then, I get you want the underdog protagonist, but like, man, they really lay into him. Like, that ugly fucking.
Seven even says like, I'm at least average at best.
Yeah, he's okay, he's not.
He looks like a regular character, right?
He does kind of the fucking whole background character. Oh well, I'll get into the quotes.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's funny. Bodyguard Daichun. Dude, I love Daichun.
I love how he's kind of like the alternate version of him. Even though the fucking... what's the name of the chicken that helps him? That turns into the big one. When he saved the and instead of Seven, he's like, you got the wrong fuckers. Well, like, they kind of look the same, you know?
Kind of look the same. And look, that's a good... I'm glad you pointed that out. That they are kind of similar characters.
Yeah, they're good foils.
That's the word for
it. They're the dual. No,
two sides of the same coin. Duality of man. Bullshit.
Yeah, something. But yeah, no. And he's like, oh. Because if you think about it, Seven does kind of act like a bodyguard, as we said, for a lot of.
Yeah, he does, like, protect his targets for the most part.
So that's kind
of. So much
funny.
So that Seven even asks how much Daichun gets paid. Yeah. Which I'm kind of spoiling it, but. Daichun gets paid bullshit. He makes like he's like stupid cheap. How cheap?
Oh damn! But he has access to all of his credit. He had like what 3,000? That's not a lot.
That's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
The indestructible virgin, dude. What a fucking technique! Christ. What a fucking technique!
Hey man, he's a man on a mission. You know?
No, it's funny because like Daichun is like probably like inherits all the positive traits Asian culture would put over, like, hardworking, stoic, keeps to himself. And so he's, like, all chiseled and ripped and whatnot, and he's holier than thou. And then, so, I just love the scene when he takes his shirt, when Daichun takes his shirt off, and then Seven pulls up his shirt. He's like,
he's like, what?
Hello? And they're all doing the poses, and, you know, of course, Daichun's is, like, hella hard and shit. Yeah. And then. So Seven does like the half-assed tiger or whatnot.
No, I think. Oh, he says crane style. And it's a fucking chicken.
It's just a chicken, yeah.
Good stuff. Oh, good fuck. Stuff. Anything
else? See, that's a guy that doesn't fake it. That guy's 100%.
No, that guy is just real. Real is he's as good as gold.
Solid as gold. 7-day lock. What a who would have thought of like what a never in my life would I have thought of a move like that.
I mean, why the fuck would you?
And, oh man, they fucking even run the gag when he's stuck to him for 4 days.
Yeah, it's the whole.
They even did the fucking stereotypical seven drops to sell.
I was thinking more of the spooning.
Oh, spooning in bed. Yeah. Wipes his boogers on him.
You know, that's how it's dedication. You know,
that's truly
just like how he took that missile.
Oh my god, he did take that missile.
He fucking did. He broke the lock.
I know.
For the missile, he had to sacrifice the lock.
I like how much they put over, or rather, they emphasize the strength of the lock. That when Dachun is like breaking the lock, he's like legit straining and bleeding from to break away from the position.
That's good. Good stuff. All right. I think it's most of them getting into a 13.
The majority of these characters will matter later.
Yeah, kind of like 13, where I feel like we're probably going to learn more about her, but she's kind of the mysterious girl who he hits on, got the little entrance, who probably has a past with him. I mean, she does have a target, is told to assassinate him by your father, right? That's her dad at the
end? That's her master.
Something like that.
I will clarify, no, her dad is not her master.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot if it was what it was, but, so probably going to learn more about her, but... I think she's intentionally pretty mysterious. Just kind of the badass, like, a lot of, karate girl that... Or karate. You know.
Yeah, Kung fu, whatever.
Yeah. Wuya. Wushi? Woo? Whatever this word is.
Wushu. Oh. That's a martial art,
I think that's just, like, the general term for this genre of, like, martial art.
Martial heroes. Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There you go. Anyway. Anything else to add on her? Because I'm sure it'll be expanded I don't think there's like that.
No, I mean at first she's introduced as an antagonist, but ends up teaming with him near the at the end rather. I just liked how during her introduction episode, I guess not her introduction episode, but when she gets featured in the third episode, I thought my favorite moment is when he's about to get stabbed by the hair sword, so he pulls seven pulls him and 13 together.
The whole, yeah.
I love that song. I don't know the name of it, though.
Which one is that?
I'm
You're gonna play it? Yeah, let's play it off for the...
I'm just gonna... Just a little bit of it.
Okay. Oh, you had it prepared.
Yeah. That's a pretty... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, this one.
Yeah, I love that one so much.
It's kind of weird, but I fucking...
Yeah, it's strange, but it's still, like, pleasant to hear.
Yeah.
I like this show.
Yeah, there you go.
Talking about Jay Daibo.
Jay Daibo is kind of, supposed to be the mentor and, teaching him about how to be a good assassin and, I mean...
Apparently taught him in Xiao Fei's father, Dai Fei's martial arts, which... It just seems like it's like some people might dismiss it as dirty tricks, but I see it as being a smarter fighter.
I mean, it's the dirtiest player in the game. It's basically Ric Flair.
They both have beaks.
God damn it!
That's what Arn called him, apparently.
Oh, hey, I mean, it's a
What I really like to like touching back on the whole genre of fighting, as far as like it's not just power ups. What I liked about the Xiao Fei and King Pheasant fight is like. Xiao Fei used all the advantages, like, A, he's being underestimated, right? But, he did smart stuff like his head got stuck in the ground, but he used that momentum to scratch out King Pheasant's eye. Mm-hmm. Then he takes advantage by fighting that side, right? Because chickens can only see one side at a time, right? Or they're on the sides of their head, the eyes, not the front of the head. So then he takes advantage of that and goes to the blind spot and then breaks King Pheasant's weakest joint, his fingers, right?
Wait, did this fight... Okay, so you're talking about Daibo versus...
Nah, I'm talking about Dai Fei, the skinnier one.
Wait, when did he fight? Wait, who? Wait, which episode was this?
This is after 13's episode. I know it's kind of been a while.
Probably. Why am I trying to... I swear, because I know... I think you brought it up earlier. Hold on, which one?
Scroll down more. It's like after. Here it is. Oh. King of Chicken.
Oh, I didn't watch this.
This wasn't on your Netflix?
I didn't want to pay for Netflix. So I just pirated it. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, so you didn't see this episode about 13.
I fucking did not. I just watched the first 10.
Oh, dude.
Well, shit.
That's awkward. Well.
Okay,
you should watch it later on your own time.
Yeah, okay. I will.
Ah, fuck. But
that's fine. I mean, I got the most of it. I think, like, it's probably just background stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's background on the characters.
Yeah,
But it is worth watching. But, circling back to what I was saying. So, Shalfei... Dude, you missed the fucking...
Damn.
When Daibo says he's the king of chicken, like...
No, there's a flashback. I'm like, what the fuck is that? What did this happen?
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
I thought you were gleaming everything from that, like, 5 seconds. I'm like, holy shit.
They definitely took scenes
from
that.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. It's so funny.
No, there's no way I could do that.
He's like, yo, remember when he did...
Do I look like God? What the fuck?
Hey, maybe. Who knows? Haruhi. Remember Haruhi Suzume? Yeah, Jesus Christ, that's old now.
Dude, they did the Groundhog Day episode.
Yeah, they
sure 8 times in a row.
The greatest anime arc of all time.
Like,
some people.
It's so ballsy. I respect it, but it's so shitty in terms of entertainment. You know?
Hey, not everything. You can have both. You can have both thoughts in your head, and you know,
and then something good. But fuck. But no.
That's fine. Yeah, you talk about it then.
He was basically, instead of Dai Fei powering up and overpowering King Pheasant, you know. Okay, so spoilers for this. He's able to basically detain, for lack of a better word, King Pheasant. The only reason King Pheasant's able to come back is, spoilers, King Pheasant is super roided up. So roided up. Dude, we have to watch this.
Okay.
But we'll log into my Netflix, okay? But he takes the steroids in the middle of the fight and then murders Dai Fei.
Okay.
And then, oh, fuck. And then when Dai Bo fights him, Dai Bo's not as skilled in the martial arts, which I love how the storytelling of the fights, because I feel like when you watch anime fights, sometimes that gets lost. It's just, you know, cool animation. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. You don't really get the... Fuck, I hate when you hear this in wrestling podcasts sometimes, but you don't really get the story of it, right?
No, I got you.
But so, Dai Bo gets his ass beat, but it's just to get close enough to steal the steroids from King Pheasant. And then he roids up, and then he... See, and but that gives justification as to why he's powering up. You know what I mean? But...
And there you go.
I digress.
All right.
Such a cool little 3 episode. It's not even like 30 minutes if you think about it, because they're like 8-9 minutes a pop.
Doesn't have the length on it. Okay, all right. Guess another assignment.
Yeah, probably just watching a little bit.
Yeah,
just for shits and giggles. All right, let's talk about our main guy 7. As you said, core theme is memories and fake it to make it. He's definitely a fake ass assassin, at least in his current form. Now They do tease a lot about his past, and it does seem like he was a high-level assassin, so he wasn't faking it then, but that's not who he is in this part of the series.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of his character already, so yeah. Anything else to add before we get into notable moments?
No, let's get into it.
All right, any questions?
Okay, something that was kind of strange is...
Chichimons.
So you know when they're on their boat escaping Chicken Island?
Yeah.
How does Seven get back to the island? Because he can't fly, right? Because he left before Shalfei left. So how did he even... he just teleported.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. I got nothing.
My favorite quote from Seven is... they call me Killer 7. I'm number 17,369 on the killer rankings.
There you go.
My specialty is cutting bangs. Yeah. I offer quality services at affordable prices. I move among many social circles. Somehow I'm still single. And then it cuts to him getting his ass beat by 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he really does fit that lovable underdog archetype, despite the fact he is an assassin. But I think part of it is he doesn't really kill anyone.
Yeah.
In the runtime of the show, but...
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So you definitely buy into him in a more endearing sense.
All right, getting into just things that moments that I liked. I mean, the first infiltrating the dog camp, and he's all, make him eat shit to prove he's a dog.
And then, you know, Seven tries to, like, call his bluff and says, you eat it first. And, you know, like, dogs be fucking dogs. So.
Like, yeah, sure, whatever, man. This is nothing.
I'd do it again.
Then the cats can't breathe. When he's the fucking fish. No, the first time he transforms in the fish in the submarine episode, and the fucking Coast Guard guy's like, oh, that's so cool! Whoa! Oh my god! He transforms, like, but, on the windowsill. Yeah, he
can't, not in the water.
And he's just sitting there, and he's like, oh, maybe I should have jumped or something. He's like, shut the fuck up.
Just throw me in there.
And then when he gets captured by the pirates, and they're arguing over how to eat him.
I know, steam like versus grilled. It's like, and then Captain Jack says, sashimi.
Oh, man.
What else did I put on here? Hey, layered jokes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Jack calling his, the first encounter with Seven, calling him a Naruto background character. I'm like, oh, dang,
they're definitely getting okay. their shots in, yeah.
Alrighty then. The power level, 45 thing, 7-day golden lock. Yeah, that's what I put. Anything else?
Oh, remember Dachun, harassing the rubber duck?
Oh, yeah. He's like,
that's really good. You're so resilient. I bet I could bite through you.
No, I think it's, you know, showing some of his character. He's like, okay, he's not completely 100% stoic, man.
He's not 100% stoic.
He's got some interests, which, you know.
Harassing rubber ducks.
Just wanting to bite rubber, you know?
Did you notice Dachun's pin was 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes. Yeah, because...
Why would it be?
Yes. You know, he's just... He's a good boy, you know?
I'm surprised he didn't just do 5, 5, 5, 5.
Yeah,
you know?
You gotta... You gotta start at a... You only... It's gotta start at 1, you know? It's a... I don't know.
I do want to say, I think a small joke is seven progressed from 17,000 to 12,000 at some point. Oh, he did?
No, I think the number was so big that I never fucking noticed.
Yeah, it just goes over your head, right? Yeah.
I thought he would at least hit, like, maybe in the thousands or something.
It's definitely by design, but okay. I thought that was funny.
Oh, another thing, I think it was the
Dachun episode. I think he goes back to 17,000, though.
But I think it's the first episode where you see the beach. And I swear there's like a frame where you can see the dog and cat on the beach together. That was okay, some continuity. So that's canon, I do like how when, you know, the dog is, Mad Dog is singing to get Kitty back, but it turns out it's fucking him. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't expect that.
You know what the funny thing about that is, as proven by the beach episode, Mad Bark and Meow get back together,
yeah,
right?
Actually,
couldn't have went terribly wrong if Mal mentioned, like, oh, I loved how you serenaded me that one night, and Madbox's like,
oh, what?
Fucking
me. I mean, I'm sure it's like, because it probably is in his character to do something like that, you know?
So you think you'd just be like, oh, yeah, I could see that.
I don't think it'd be a big
it's not such a block. Huge, yeah.
It wouldn't be a WWE roadblock, you know what I mean?
Dude, the low-rise jean abs on Madbark is just the funniest fucking...
okay. Anything else?
As far as notable moments.
Yeah, I think I got pretty much.
No, I think, another gag I wanted to point out is when Cola ended up kicking Seven in the nuts instead of her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, yeah, that's good. That's
good stuff. Getting into key directing. Which I think...
Sorry, one more thing.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I kind of looked up the character's age, and I think Seven is, like, 21.
Okay, I was going to say... I think he's older than, like, he's not a high schooler, but he's definitely, like...
Oh, sorry, he's 19.
There you go, okay.
Okay. So,
well, I guess he is, like, high school. But, like, he does look older, because I remember thinking, like, Cola looks 12.
I looked that up. I think she's 15.
Okay, that's...
But it is kind of weird still, because, like, he tried to, like...
but I just know...
Watch her pee standing.
I think even, like, her compared to her ex-boyfriend, like, because that guy looked taller. I think it's just because she's kind of short.
Yeah. I mean, who... I mean, cancer. But also...
I don't think cancer makes you shorter.
I think it can, I don't think it makes you shorter, but I think it could stunt your growth.
Huh.
I could believe it does, at least.
I have no idea, actually.
I ain't a fucking doctor.
Well, there you go.
But,
okay, then.
I mean, hey, I don't know what dating culture age is in China, so who's to say? Yeah. Holy fuck, Xiao Fei can fly. Oh.
And he grabs him by his nuts.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. He even tells Cola, I was like, can you not?
Come on, man. Not in front of the girl.
Dude, I don't want to put any more quotes in there from, like, the OVA episodes.
You can throw one out.
No, because I want you to see them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to delete some of these
moments. That's fine. We'll learn heard about him. We can
see in the next 30 minutes, probably. Yeah. Maybe we'll see. Your father? Oh, fuck, so funny. Okay, let's key directing. Yeah,
key directing. I think this first part is basically kind of like what we've been talking about how he's you know, the opening scene is a dream sequence, and we were faked out like, oh, you know, he's supposed to be this competent assassin.
And really, but he's a jabroni. Yeah. But then actually, psych, he kind of is, yeah. But he forgot how to do it.
Oh, and then like, oh man, when the scissors broke, and he's reclaiming them back, like, oh, his past, his memory has been broken, and he's slowly over the series.
Like that muscle memory, yeah. Yeah, oh, I do want to say, when Seven ends up doing whoever did this had to be a Dragon Ball fan. But when he does like the whole Goku and Piccolo thing, when he holds Raditz,
yeah.
When he does the whole Raditz double suicide or whatever, you know, I thought it was actually a pretty smart way to show that the Princess Stan survived by saying, oh, I have a gorilla heart.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, that's a good line, too. Like what the fuck? Hello?
But no, like, I could... Because, you know, in anime, like, you know, you get shot in the heart, like, oh, fuck it, I'm still gonna... Even in Dragon Ball, they do that shit all the time.
That was pretty funny.
Right? But, of course, this fucking modified freak... Because they gave the whole back... Daibo gave the whole background of Stan being modified freaks. Mm. But, I thought another cool animation that they did is, like... See, it's the animation details that I feel like that really makes this series, you know? Like, the attention to detail and then the art style is still, like... before I get further apart. Okay, so if you bring your arm from your back to the front to your front, you probably just go, like, some degree of motion like this, right? Going, like, a horizontal plane, right? I thought something cool that the Princess Stan did is he shot behind him and then, like, they animated it so, like, it was robotically... just like an action figure joint.
Okay,
with swing forward.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really cool detail.
Okay, I got you, yeah.
And I think that's like something I really appreciate about the series is they don't really reuse a lot of shots. And when they do, they like add context. They add a different context to it. Like if I could provide an example, end of episode 9, Scissor comes back to fight Princess Stan, right? Mm-hmm. And then like it gets to this cool action sequence, right? Episode 10 starts. It's the same scene, but then they added small details to it, right? So Seven pulls out the sword and's like, what the fuck? Why is it cracked? Right? And then the action scene sequence ends, and then the sword breaks. It's like, what the fuck, Daibro? What was the point of this? So I think they're really good with, like, their attention to detail.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely... Yeah, there definitely is a lot of stuff going on in each frame. Each frame,
Meanwhile, fucking One Piece will, like, have the same filler shit review for 10 fucking minutes.
Oh, man. Hey man, though, they're finally getting to Gear 5 in the anime. Great. Can't wait for that.
Fantastic. Can't wait to go through 100 episodes of it.
I mean, I'll watch the episode where it happens, because, like, probably, like, oh man.
Doesn't that suck, though, that you have to watch the episode that happens, not the sequence of it? You know what I mean? Like,
I could just find it on YouTube.
And, you know, like, it'll probably end with the episode, him finally getting it, and then it cuts to black for the next episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, anime was meant to advertise the manga, right? So if you wanted to read it more expediently, just read
it. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think the main reason I was watching One Piece is because, like, Bianca, like, the only
I'm
way
not trying to shit on One Piece. I like
no,
One
no, no,
Piece.
No, honestly, I fucking love One Piece, yeah. Right? It's,
No, I like One Piece, too.
And I'll just say, and it's obviously very different. 10 episodes of season 1 versus whatever.
Season 1 of
wherever,
One Piece is probably like,
whatever you want to call season 1 of One Piece. I don't know where you want to put that.
Everything before the red line.
I mean, that's probably like the correct response, but that's also like, Jesus Christ.
That's like what?
But I will say, like, at least the reason I watch it is because it's the only way Bianca will experience the story, and she really loves One Piece as well, but she's not gonna fucking read it.
I would so much rather read it just because. Just trim
but
the fat.
At least for Gear 5, I really do want to see it animated, because, I mean, if you know what it is, you know, oh.
I think I've seen, like, an image of
it. Oh, man. Oh, man. It's good stuff. I fucking love it. That's awesome. Anyway. One of these days, well, no.
Does he really switch from Mandarin to Cantonese?
That's what it says on good old Wikipedia.
Oh, it's actually really interesting.
There it is. If I was listening to the Chinese, I wouldn't be able to tell, probably.
Oh, no, we would not, definitely. But I think that's a cool, once again, yeah, another small attention to detail. And I think Shan Wu, which is where his past is from, I think it's meant to be, like, depict more of an ancient China. So, I don't know, maybe, is Cantonese supposed to be more ancient than Mandarin? I'm not quite sure.
I'm sure that's a statement that could get you a fucking firestorm or something.
Get canceled on Twitch.
By the I don't know, man. Chinese people. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, that's.
Hey, they're not listening to us. Yo, Taiwan's a country. God damn it. Hey, fuck it. You want to cancel it? You want to cancel all five of you? Come on. Come at me.
Hey, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, Taiwan is a country.
Like, hell no. No one's gonna fucking.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
That's crazy how like insane people they are for responding if you say something like that. That's so...
Dude, I think I remember John Cena, like, he didn't directly acknowledge Taiwan as a country. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? He didn't directly acknowledge Taiwan as a country, but he still had to apologize about it.
Yeah, he just wanted to talk about
it. I think he just alluded to it.
And all, yeah, he just wanted his Bing chilling, you know? Wanted
fucking ice cream.
Jesus.
This Chinese is, like...
It sounded good.
It's uncannily... It's uncanny how good a Chinese is.
Have you seen the fucking John Cena?
It's like Mao Zedong.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, I think that's all I got for Keter acting. Anything else you want to add?
There's some... Okay, so they're smart... Okay, we already covered, like, the main points, right? Like, short enough to be interesting, long enough to cover the topic. Mm. They know how to reuse scenes, or rather, recontextualize scenes. And their humor... Fantastic, because it's all layered, right? Something I wanted to notice to mention about the sound design is, I know this kind of relates to FX, but I know you told me the term for it, but it's like when they reuse a song, but it's like a different version of it. Like maybe it's like
a motif.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good with the ending song.
Yeah,
various other ones.
Yeah, always a big fan of using the ending song in actual series. Yeah,
yeah, or the opening, or and you know it's subtle, like it's not a direct copy of that song. Like it'll be like instrumental,
it's a variation. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Keeps it fresh, and but also stays within the confines of
of the show.
Yeah, good stuff.
Keeps it in mind. All those small moments as far as, like, they're able to... Yeah, I think the key thing I just want to drive home, let me just make sure I'm good here. Princess Stan. Always get their jokes in the rotation. Scissor Brokes. Well, you know when the scissors broke, that is a big moment because, you know, it's called Scissor 7. But also, like, you know, they never really killed anyone with them. Like,
yeah,
they never seem to be that durable.
I think it's just a tie in, because he's supposed to be a hairstylist.
Yeah.
And we can't just give him the sword, even. Nah, I don't know. It definitely makes him stand out amongst all these other Shonen protagonists, you know.
Protagonists. Did you notice that Seven's durability and, like, defense skill is actually kind of high? But his offense is, like, the shit.
I feel like that's kind of the standard for, like, quote unquote weak characters, where, like, their one defining or the one good quality is that they, you know, like,
take an ass whooping.
You know, and then they get their come. Well, actually, I guess he never really gets to come back. And
he kind of does at the
end.
Well,
he never, in terms of the fight, he gets back at the people for.
At the very.
At the very, very.
Yeah, end, against Princess Tani does.
But at least for most of the episodes, he wins via his non-violent actions.
Non-violence or wit.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, key thing I want to put over, and like we said mentioned earlier, is just the pacing of the episodes, right? Because in between their serious moments, they're still willing to put jokes in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I could see why a writer would not want to do that, right? Because it might be you don't want to undercut the tension of the moment. But I don't know how they do it. Maybe it's through like a million revisions or what. But the producers or the writers or whatever are able to still keep the tension, but it keeps you on your toes by changing the pace or of what's going on in the screen.
Yeah, definitely a good mix of that. Because now I was remember watching, I think was it 2020, where they released like a reboot of the first Digimon Adventure anime.
Yeah,
and I tried watching it because like okay, we'll see what it is. But and I feel like the pacing of that show is like episode after episode of just increasing danger and world stakes of nukes about to be launched by Digimon.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, I remember that.
We don't even get a moment to like just breathe and hang out. Like I remember watching. I went back and watched the fucking episode where Joe, like in Digitamamon, is running a fucking restaurant, and I'm a much more bigger fan of stuff like that, or at least having the moments of levity.
Yeah, right? Those character moments, right? Like, aside from just action, I just found that
kind of lacking. Where I think, you know, being able to find a good balance.
Problems I have with Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
No, I think pacing and entertainment is like king.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the most important thing. Like, context is important, obviously, but pacing, right? Being able to take your audience through that ride. Like I mentioned earlier, when the island's in danger and everyone's, like, freaked out and they even have, like, the ominous music, the grandma still finds, finds time to steal fish, right? It's stuff like that.
Still, yeah.
And they even get, like, cohesive, yeah. They even get all the characters in for one more last hurrah and in that final climax sequence, right? Because, they have to do the DBZ thing of all the other characters fight the big boss for the main guy to come through. But the main guy's such an underdog, it makes it interesting to watch the fight.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the
effects. As we said, the art style is very... I'm not sure if I'd say brushstrokey. You know what I mean?
Like lines. It does have like the deep... The bold lines.
Yeah,
the
stuff you see. And like, I guess Chinese artwork. I mean, I don't know. My knowledge of Chinese artwork's not very, but you know what I mean. If you see it, it's very distinct. And I found it really appealing. And obviously with the transformation gimmick, and even like the opening. Like I'm just thinking of the opening where he does like the rapid thing of
transforming into and, like, multiple things.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. Yeah.
No, the
colorful show.
Like we said, the palette's definitely like, it's visually interesting every time you look at it. Although the animation is slower, I still think it does what it needs to, and it's still able to be intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing about the pacing that I wanted to say is remember when the Princess Stan transformed and he's in his underwear?
Yeah.
And then Chairman Jane gets in. She gets her fucking line in. Who designed your suit?
It does kind of remind me of, what was that?
Iron Man?
I was going to say Kill la Kill.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, when he's in his underwear. Oh, it does. I wonder if it's a reference.
It could be.
You got to get his...
Speaking on the soundtrack, they do change up the ending cards, right? With, like, what song is playing. And I actually do appreciate that because it keeps, like, a... cohesiveness to the episode.
It's like, this is their specific, like, the theme of this episode.
Exactly, you know, like. Exactly. It's somewhat, you can notice it in episode 10, the ending card actually does change. And even not just, like, the audio, but also, like, the visual, like we said for the grandma episode. At the end of the OVA, at the end of the King of Chicken arc, Xiaofei actually sings the final episode, and it's just the cutest thing ever.
Alright.
You know?
Another thing to look forward to.
Talked about the sound design artwork. Yeah, I think
I'm gonna wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're about good here. Let me see. one last thing about the effects is the art style is simple, but you know, it's stylized, so I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. But the great benefit of having a simple art style is like you can have basically crazy shit screen, right? So much such absurdity that do you remember when Xiaofei rescued Dachin? Like, he was... Instead of, like, doing the boring, like, carry him over the shoulder...
Thing, what the fuck? What was he doing?
He was launching Dachin in the air like a volleyball, right? Like, I think... That's... Like I said... Oh, I remember what I wanted to say about the artwork. Okay. So, we've seen, like, a fair amount of anime.
Yeah.
We've seen, like, high-quality Sakuga. For those of you who don't know, it's, like, super high-end anime. Mm. We've seen My Hero. Okay. Yeah. Like when they have the high fight scenes. Sometimes what I've learned, at least allegorically, is casual fans or casuals will not appreciate the high art. You're like, oh, this is kind of going over my head. Mm. But the strength in Scissor Seven's artwork is it's simple that even like women who aren't interested in anime are willing to watch it because, you know, it's kind of like it's a cute design to watch. And I'm only saying this because Joanna likes watching the show because obviously the humor's on point, but because of the artwork.
Okay.
And it's funny because on Netflix, they did like a cover art design, and it looked like it was made possibly by a different
artist.
Yeah, different artist. So it kind of looked. She said, "Oh, why does it look like Ben 10?" Because it was supposed to be like advertising for the later seasons. Okay. But once I pulled it up, it's like, oh no, clearly it's still the same. But
okay.
No, I think that's like some people might not be down with it, but I think it's a different taste, so it could appeal to different people, and I think that's a strength for sure.
No, definitely.
Just like Dai Fei, it's not about absolute strength; it's about using what you can to your advantage.
Yeah, it's about adapt and survive. You know.
There you go. Like a true Kurogan. Genophage.
All right.
Remember when they had the genophage?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You said.
No, genophage. Okay. Can't have any kids. They all have stillbirth.
Maybe you should just sit down and die. I don't know. I mean,
wow.
Okay. Nature just said nah.
That wasn't even nature. That
was not. I don't
know. Just getting to no. Okay.
I've only played one.
We're not gonna get what they talked about. It. Whatever, dude.
I forget. I just know the
Rex is mad.
Okay. Well, whatever. Anyway, getting into the closing thoughts. I really was pretty pleasantly surprised. I mean, I really dig the art style just looking upon it. But I think going in further as a further one along was kind of surprised, like how heartfelt and like actual like.
Enjoyable or endearing.
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured it was just going to be one of those
run-of-the-mill.
But I think, kind of a slice of life. It kind of is a slice of life.
I would say it is. 100%.
And, I mean, as I said in our Nichiju episode or our Sobi Asobase episode, those are a lot of right up my alley. So, I definitely really enjoyed this one. And it's quick as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Episodes
easy go watch by on Netflix. Who doesn't have Netflix, right?
I don't.
Most people do.
Yeah. Two thumbs up. Go for it. Why not?
I'll always have to beg a question at the end, but before I get to that, I will say when I first watched it, I was just, I basically stumbled upon this on accident because I watched a different Chinese anime on Netflix, which I moderately enjoyed, and then it was just recommended. The first episode was kind of jarring to me, right? Because something I put over about it earlier really strong was the pacing and how they're willing to undercut their humor, right? I wasn't used to it. So on the first episode, I was kind of thrown off guard. So I kind of didn't want to watch it because I was like, what is this show supposed to be?
I can feel
it. So that. I could see like when I look back at it, I enjoy the first episode. But at the very first time, upon first consumption, I didn't really enjoy it. But as I continued to watch the series, I had a greater fondness for it. But the question I want to pose to you is like, what is like the target or what audience does this show appeal to? You know, like I think for anime fans, I think they can enjoy it simply because like it plays on a lot of anime tropes. Even if it does use it, it still plays on it. But how would you feel it feels for like or how it reads for like a more casual audience?
So I'd like to believe that it kind of has that kind of same mass appeal that something like, well, maybe not mass appeal, but.
I think it could hit a general audience.
Yeah, no,
simply
I think
because
it does,
on the
I
fact
think
it's
it plays,
short.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's short. That so even help. If it sucks...
Yeah, at least you didn't spend 5 hours of your life
if each episode's like 10-15 minutes, and there's only 10 episodes...
Yeah, it's definitely something I think you can like,
that's like
try.
A movie, basically.
Yeah, you could just try, put it on, see what you feel like. Now, I think it does have a good heart to it that's...
Now, even adults can enjoy.
Yeah, definitely.
Hell, I would even... caution against children watching it.
I mean, hey, why not? I'm sure I fucking watched Family Guy as a kid.
I guess they do censor when they swear. But it just makes me wonder if they say the swear words in Chinese, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
And maybe Chinese broadcasts allow swear words. They do have a weird censorship about blood, though.
No.
So
oh,
that's
yeah.
why it's always like
black. It's like blood and skeletons.
Anyway. Yeah.
So... Strange. No, I think definitely very much worth checking out, so...
I think so, too. I think, I know I said it earlier, but I think it has appeal to both men and women simply because the humor is, it's layered, right? It's smartly written, but also, like, the artwork is not so insane that casuals can enjoy it. Unless you're, like, one of those snobs that's like, oh, it needs to be 4K, 120 frames, you know. That...
I'm just remembering the scene of the bikini girls fawning over,
Xiaofei.
He's like, oh, he's so cute!
I just want to cook you!
Did they say...
They do say that.
Well, he is very cute. So, and then he turns into a sexy form.
Dude, I don't know how we went this whole podcast and not mentioned Xiaofei's sexy form.
I just, he's just there.
I have it on here, I think.
I remember what he looks like. Yeah, there you go. And he even comes in. He helps out in the final battle.
Muscular chicken.
He couldn't. He couldn't. Dude, bring it home. But you know,
you know where the budget went.
Yeah,
they went all into that transformation sequence.
Oh,
like the limbs.
I love how he starts out with the limbs first.
He had a whole Sailor Moon transformation sequence.
I swear he says Henshin. I swear.
Probably.
Maybe. In English, by the way.
You know, now that I'm looking at it, it says it's created by He Xiaofeng. So I kind of wonder if that's supposed to be a play on. Actually, no. I think Xiaofei directly translates to small bird or something like that.
That's a person. there's a character.
Look up meaning. Look up meaning. Xiaofei.
Small.
Small chicken. Wait.
To fly.
Oh well, he does. He is small and he can fly.
Yeah, I think you know. It's one of those like. There's probably 10 different meanings for.
But hey, let's wrap it up here, folks.
Wrapping it up.
We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. See ya.
Yep.